the song was about cleaning out the soul and the beauty and joy of a yogi pure life, and the cleaning out of the soul, the song said, happens through jnana, that with the power of knowledge you're able to clean out the soul completely. And so today's Murali is very much about purity. The royalty of purity, the personality of purity. And it's like Baba spoke in a commentary, cycle, the stage of purity in the eternal soul when it's in Paramdham. And yes, all souls are pure there, but the sparkle of some is brighter than the sparkle of others. And then the purity of the soul when it comes into the first period, the golden age, then the purity of the soul when it comes into the copper age, and there's a period of worship of the ancestors, and the purity of the soul in Sangam Yuga. So when you hear the Murali, you feel that Baba's taking you through a whole journey through his commentary. And then Baba has defined what it means to have a pure attitude and pure vision and pure action. Baba's often used these terms, vritti, drishti, kriti. But today there's been very specific definitions of each of these aspects. And so the first aspect, the vritti, the attitude. And the word attitude is very much connected with the word vrittant, which means the end of attitude, but vrittant means an incident, a situation. And so it's connected with activity. And so that first stage that Baba's mentioning, in my attitude, to have nothing but good wishes for each and everyone. And so how do I do that? I do it by cleaning the soul out with jnana. And so using jnana so that I'm not thinking of anything else except what Baba has asked me to think about. And much later on in the Murali, Baba's used these two things that come in our language, in every language, all the time. I and my. And the reality is that whenever I say my in terms of external things, well, I have them today, and I don't know if I'm going to have them tomorrow. They come and they go, and I don't know how long I can hold on to them. And so Baba says, whenever you use the word my, think about what is eternally yours. And nothing physical is eternally mine. But the one who is eternal, I can have an eternal relationship with that one. And so Baba's taught us to use the expression, not just Baba, but my Baba. And so yes, I can belong to Baba, and Baba can belong to me forever and ever and ever, an eternal relationship. So every time I say my, can I teach myself to move away from human beings, because no one is mine forever in terms of human beings. Short time, long time, we don't know, but definitely not forever and ever. And it's only Shiv Baba who can be mine forever and ever. So can I move my consciousness in that direction? And every time I say my, remind myself of who truly is mine. In the same way, Baba said, when you use the word I, what must you say to yourself? Because the word I can make you come crashing right down when it's connected with ego, a thousand things, a thousand moments when we say I. But when you're connected with this and this, then definitely it's going to make you fall. But when I say I, can I come back to the awareness of who I truly am, the inner being, the soul? And in that awareness of soul, remember the titles that Baba has given me. And so when the song described cleaning out the soul with Gyan, this is what Baba means. Baba's actually explained what sort of Gyani thoughts I should have. And so the reminder that I am a soul who's a benefactor, I am a soul who's that pure, eternal soul. So can I remind myself of the I, which is the eternal I? And in that awareness of being a benefactor soul, what sort of thoughts am I going to have about others? My thoughts lead to awareness. My awareness leads to my attitude. And so can I just keep this one awareness of I am a benefactor. And so that awareness is going to lead to that vrittant, the end of the vritti, end of attitude, where at that moment then I can get into the whole aspect of not just my attitude, but also what am I doing. But starting with the attitude, and then if that's in my attitude, nothing but pure good wishes for everyone, then my vision, what will my vision be like? I will see only the goodness of each and every soul. It's very interesting that most times we do have good wishes for everyone. Most times we do see something that's good in someone. But sometimes we slip up. And usually the trigger is, if they've said something, if they've done something which I feel is not helpful for me or is actually demeaning, it's pulling me down, they shouldn't have said this, it wasn't right. So once you get those train of thoughts, then definitely the vision of the goodness of the soul has disappeared. And so I was saying, what sort of feeling do you get when you hear things that you would normally say, I don't like? Well, if you're with Baba, and Baba's your companion, Baba is totally detached. And so can I be God's companion and also remain totally detached like the Father? The incorporeal one, of course, Shiv Baba is through the whole cycle detached. But Brahma Baba, in this birth as a human being, has also demonstrated whatever is coming to be able to be detached from that and not let it impact you. Why? Because if I let it touch me, then there's going to be the sorrow of what I've heard. But also, I'll keep thinking about it. When you've heard something that somebody said, maybe how long does it say to say a few words? A few seconds? But how long did I keep it in my inner consciousness and repeat it to myself again and again and again? They didn't repeat it. They said it one off and it finished. But I held on to it, and it kept coming back into my mind again and again and again. And so the feeling of sorrow became deeper and deeper. And of course, if my feeling is of having taken sorrow, what am I going to give to others? It's a reality. It'll come through in my words, it'll come through in my drishti, it'll come through in my behavior. I'm going to be giving sorrow to others. And so the burden increases on the soul. So can I understand that I now have to stop this? Why? Because I want to become karmatit. I want to come to the stage of all karmic accounts clear. In bhakti, souls say that we want to be free from the cycle. But the purpose of the cycle is to give us happiness. And definitely, for half the cycle, total happiness. Golden age, silver age, even the word sorrow doesn't exist there. But to get to that stage, I need to develop my transformation today, in which I don't take sorrow. And so my drishti, seeing the goodness of the eternal soul, will remind me that I don't need to take sorrow from anyone at all. I can be detached, be with the Father, and the sorrow stays out there and it doesn't touch me. So I don't have to be free from the cycle, because I want to be in the golden age. It's not that the world is always the way it is now, but there's a time when the world was a playground, when literally everything was a game, everything was a beautiful play. And so I want to be able to experience that. Even the word Jivan Mukti, in the religious leaders gathering, of course, there were people from all sorts of backgrounds. Every single religion, mainstream religion, was present. And one of them, no, it was actually about just counting in my head. And so two and five, it was more than five people who were from the Hindu tradition. Sikh tradition separate, Jain tradition separate, but Hindu tradition. And so I was in a small group, and one of the sisters, a Spanish woman actually, but she was in the group that I was in, and she was the assistant to the main Spanish Swami, who's really been a very powerful figure for many, many decades. He's really studied Hinduism deeply and became a Swami many years ago. So she was talking about Jivan Mukti, and she spoke about Jivan Mukti as being freed from the bondage of life, so that you attain moksha. And so I didn't get into a discussion about that with her in that on that day, because there were other things to discuss. But it was fascinating for me to see how traditional Hinduism and those ideas are so strongly prevalent even today. So the definition of Jivan Mukti, to be free from life. And that's very different to the definition that Baba has given us. To be in life, to be here in the physical dimension, in the golden age and the silver age, but to be free from sorrow. Mukti, free from bondage, free from sorrow, but yet still to be able to enjoy life. So when Baba says 21 births, and then Baba's given us 8 births for the golden age, and then 14, I've forgotten my basic arithmetic. So 20 births in that first period, and then one birth is now. Absolutely, it's now. So can I experience a life free from the bondage of negativity and the bondage of sorrow? The body doesn't have to be bondage. The body is a beautiful instrument. And so as I use it, I give thanks to it that yes, it has served me well. It's brought me this far, and how much further, who knows, but it served me well. And so this isn't the bondage, it's my attachment to this which is the bondage. And so when I detach and appreciate it, there was a lovely murali where Baba spoke about being the puppeteer and the body, well, the soul being the puppeteer and the body being the puppet. But in fact, Lady Janki always spoke about the soul as being the puppet and Baba, God, being the puppeteer. And so when we would ask her, well, how are you managing to do everything you do at the age of 90, 100? And she'd say, but I'm not doing anything. The puppeteer is pulling the strings and I'm just dancing. And so that's Jivan Mukti, a body that may not be doing as you want it to do, but yes, is still able to do what Baba wants it to do. And so that stage of experiencing a life free from bondage means letting go of my attachment to this now. And when I let go of my attachment to this, being detached doesn't mean that I'm rejecting it, but being detached means I'm more aware of what it needs and I'm more capable of providing it with whatever it needs and saying no to whatever is going to be damaging for it. When I'm attached to my child and my child says, I want chocolates and sweets, then my understanding is that, okay, from time to time, maybe once a week, maybe a few times a week, that's fine. But to have chocolates and sweets every day is not going to be healthy either for the teeth or the mind or the body. And so the parent is detached enough to be able to say, no, this isn't right. And children are very pliable. They're very flexible and they'll accept it. But if the parent doesn't draw the line, then the child is going to keep pushing the line further and further. And this I know from parents, not one parent, many parents who've told me, that it's as if the child is waiting for the parent to say no. Then the child knows this is the line and won't cross it. But if the mother is thinking, oh, it's okay, never mind, and she gives in, well, the line is going to be pushed more and more and more. And then the mother wonders why the child's getting spoiled. But the same thing, me and my body. Can I be detached enough to know what is right, what is useful, what is good? But also, detached enough to know how to be able to treat it with respect and treat it with love and appreciation. And so that stage where I'm in the body, but I refuse to accept sorrow, it's up to me. Do I take it or I don't? I refuse to accept sorrow. I refuse to accept negativity. That's my choice. And so the vritti, the change of attitude, and in the attitude, just simply having good wishes for all, the change of vision, seeing the soul and the goodness that's there, intrinsic within the soul. And then the third thing, my actions. And before I read the sentence, I stopped for a moment and asked, well, what sort of actions is Baba going to describe? And it was very beautiful. Stay happy and give happiness. Give and take of joy. And so Sangam Yug, this period of time today, in this birth, Jivan Mukti means to be able to have an exchange of happiness at all times. If I've taken sorrow, I'm going to give sorrow. But if from every situation I take only happiness, well, that's what I'm also going to give to others. I'm not sure whether I shared with you the story of Costa Rica and Eleanor Detiger. Very simply, she was the one who invited me to Costa Rica just for 4 days, long journey for 4 days. But this was September time. And she'd organized a very special gathering. And very powerful women came to that from around Costa Rica, not from far afield, but around there. And she couldn't make it because she had a fall just the day before the conference began. So I missed her when I'd arrived. So when I asked, they said, this is what's happened. And so I just spoke to her on the phone. And on the phone, she sounded so light, so cheerful, very happy. And then when the conference finished, some of us went to see her. She's now in her 90s, and when you're 9, you can fall a dozen times and just jump up and run around. But when you're 90, it has many repercussions. You've seen it in your parents, and some of you have seen it for yourselves. She came into the room where we were sitting, and she had crutches and an assistant, but her face was glowing. And when she sat down, she made herself comfortable, and then we said to her, "Eleanor, your face is sparkling." And she said, "Yes, I've been using my time to have lots of yoga." And she said that when she'd fallen, she'd realized that, well, she wasn't going to make it to the conference. And then she said to herself, "What can I do now?" And she decided that she would just simply send Sakash to everybody at the conference, taking God's light and sharing it with others. And she said that that was the best thing that could have happened. If I had come, I'd have got caught up with doing, meeting, talking. But this way, I had no further engagements. Yes, I had my assistants, but I didn't need to talk. And so I just spent the last few days in silence, just sending Sakash. And I'm sure her Sakash helped us, because every moment of the conference was very beautiful, very powerful. So something that's negative, it's not a good thing that you fall. So you have to say that, yeah, it's negative. But even if something negative has happened, can I turn it around for myself and say, it's fine. It's beautiful. There's a reason for this to happen. How can I turn it around and make good use of this? And so she reads Muralis every day, and she uses the word Baba all the time. So, and of course she's been a huge, huge friend and supporter since the 80s, the early 80s. So it's a long period of connection. But can I just simply be happy and give happiness to others? And so the three things, my attitude, my vision, and my actions. Baba's given us the detail of all of this. Many things within the Murali. But the other thing that I want to pick up on is where Baba's talking about being able to be like the sun. Baba's saying that like the sun sends out rays of light everywhere and is able to change the atmosphere completely and achieve so much. Each one of you can be the master sun, the one who's able to give everything at all times. You're the children of the bestower. The bestower is constantly giving. And so can you be like the master sun, giving peace and happiness to all souls who need it? And the situation in the world is, as you know, so many different aspects of sorrow just constantly hitting people. But the master sun, able to give God's light and love. How do I do that? One thing, I need to practice concentration. Baba said, the more you practice focusing your thoughts, your mind, concentrate your thoughts, the more you're able to focus and concentrate your intellect. When you learn to do this and have yoga which is stable, not just for a few moments or a few minutes, but really for a period of time, a stretch of time, in that stage, yes, you can give that light and might, because you're receiving it from Baba and you're able to be the instrument to share it. So, how do I get there? Practice and practice. Starting just with one thought from the Murali. Pick up any thought that touches you from each day's Murali. And yes, you can use the same thought many times, but in fact, it's very useful finding something from each day's Murali which really touches me deeply, that I resonate with, and use that as the focus for the mind. And as you begin to do that, you learn, first you learn, you see to what extent I can focus and concentrate. And sometimes it may not be very long, but however long it is, again, come back to that thought and concentrate, focus. And what you'll find is that then it's very natural and easy to let the intellect focus and concentrate. Because one of the definitions we give of Raj Yoga is Buddhi Yoga, the yoga of the intellect. And within that, there's a beautiful expression in the Gita that says, yoga means a loving intellect. Just simply let the Preet Buddhi, and then that is the intellect that's able to have victory. There's another very beautiful thing that happened within the discussions. We were talking about what it is that pulls the soul down and what it is that uplifts the soul. And general consensus within the group was ego pulls the soul down. That subject came up several times because we were with the same group of people most of the time. And then the big group, of course. But within the small group, ego and the contrast of that humility came up many times in different ways. And somebody then said that the worst negativity that comes is when my ego begins to think that truth is failing and I begin to have doubts. And so doubt is Maya, doubt is the illusion, the truth is there, but it's, and they were using this word, illusion. Illusion is when I think I know better and I have doubts in what I'm understanding at one point to be the truth, and now I've turned it around. And my ego has come in to do that, but doubt. And the contrast of that faith, and how faith in the intellect leads to victory. When I'm appreciating the knowledge that God is giving me, and I'm practicing that knowledge, using it in my life, my faith grows stronger. And the reason why I begin to have doubts is because I'm not seeing results in my life. But that's not the fault of the teachings. It's my weakness in terms of my practice. But it's the easiest thing in the world to say, well, this doesn't work, let me drop it. And so the illusion, I know better, the illusion, I am right, and I move away. But the other side, I am using God's teachings, I am practicing them, the right thinking, the right attitude, the right vision, the right actions. And there's just deep love, and it gets better and better, and appreciation. And so my intellect is going to be more and more stable. And so can I develop my practice so that my mind achieves stability? And the more I practice, of course, the longer it's able to stay stable. You know, it's like physical exercise. You strengthen your muscles. Same thing. I'm strengthening the muscle of the mind so that it can stay where I want it to stay. And if it's going off here and there, I gently draw it back. And so the concentration of the mind and the concentration of the intellect, and of course, the one bringing me good results leads to the other that's strong and powerful and stable. My intellect stable in its love and in its faith. And in that stage then, yes, I can be like the Master Sun. It's in the title of the Murali, Be the Master Sun. And I was curious to see what Baba was going to tell us about it. And so when Baba made it so simple, just one word, how to be the Master Sun? Concentration. Something that seems very, very elevated, and normally we'd say it's out of reach for a human being. How can a human being be like the Master Sun? But then Baba brings it down to the practical application of getting there, and it begins to seem very reasonable, very easy, and that's all it needs, just the practice. So enjoy the Murali.